Poland in 1974, I happened to be at the elders' meeting the day before the convention in Krakow. At that time, they were to elect a chairman that was to chair the convention program for 1976. And there was about 118 elders from different ecclesias in Poland, and that represented around 6,000 brethren. And so, at that time, Brother Gumelia got out of 118 votes, he got 116. And so he served while he was still with them, and he passed away this spring, as you know. And in his stead, the committee elected Brother Zeminski to be chairman for the convention committee for the next 2 years, and also to serve, I suppose, the different problems of different ecclesias and so on. They look forward to him, pilgrimship and so on. And so I, being with the brother for over a week, I could see why they have chosen him, with the patience, fine personality, any particular problem, he comes to the point and it's not dragged out. And that is why I suppose they had high regard for the brother. And so we are very privileged in order to have Brother Zeminski with us. It's my pleasure to call on Brother Zeminski to serve us the discourse tonight. His topic is going to be stewardship. What is meant by stewardship? Brother Zeminski.
Dear brethren, in our Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, I'd like to say, you may excuse me, dear brethren, that my suit just now is not complete because it is too hot this evening. I am very happy indeed to meet with you today, and thank God for this privilege, which I trust with God's help will to be a mutual blessing. We will now consider, it was said from Brother Mike, stewardship. Our theme text is from 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, 1st verse. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministers of God. Let a man so account of us as of the minister of Christ and stewards of the ministers of God, said the Apostle Paul. I believe that in all the field of religious thought and Christian activity, no subject demands a closer consideration than the theme which we have chosen for our study, stewardship. The Apostle in his first epistle to the Corinthians, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th chapters, is dealing with us this and kindred topics. We will use the first and second verses of this 4th chapter as our text. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We, it means church, speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Those of the creeds do not speak the wisdom of God because it is a mystery. We are all stewards. Every prospective member of the body of Christ, every justified, consecrated, and spirit begotten race runner is a steward of the mysteries of God. I want you to notice with the how we prophet Isaiah in 61st chapter from 1st to 3rd verses. Helpless, our Lord, as the head of the Christ, with us as the members of his body. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings and to the meek. He had sent me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the half of the prophecy which our Lord applied to himself. At this point, he closed the book, gave it to the attendant, sat down and said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in me." It is the other half of this prophecy to which I call your special attention, dear brethren. The first half was our Lord's message. It is you and I that are to declare the remaining portion with and the days of vengeance that is a part of our message. Excuse me, brethren, when my pronouncing in English sometimes is very bad. That is a part of our message, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint and to them that mourn in Zion. The mourners here spoken of are not those who have hung out the crib, but those honest-hearted Christians, few though they may be, who are still in bondage in Babylon and sorrowing because of the lack of spiritual power and life in their dear old church. These are mourning because of the cold, lifeless, and worldly conditions which obtain in the nominal systems, wondering why it is that God has forsaken them. We are to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We who have seen the beauty of the Lord's character, and plan have been filled with joy and praise, and this constitutes as minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. But someone does ask, have you been ordained? Yes, we have the answer of our Lord, dear brethren. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye, members of my body, the true church, should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit, it means fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, should remain. It is said from our Lord in Gospel of John 15, chapter 16, verse. This is the only ordination recognized by our Lord. And those who have this authority should speak as oracles of God. Ye are the light, said our Lord. Ye are the salt. What for? We read in Matthew 24, chapter and 14, verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness and to all nations. And then shall be the end come. This testimony is twofold. First, a witness to the world. Second, to gather the church. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both at Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. You read in Acts 15 chapter and 13 and 14 verses. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them the true church, a people for his name. We are to have part in the ministry of the future age work. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. There is a present work to do on each other, and a future work to do for the Lord. As stewards, it is not merely our mission to live good lives, abstaining from violence, dishonesty, lying, slander, not enough that we never abused or ill-used or cheated others. This is negative goodness is necessary to a righteous life, but more, much more, that this is required of a steward of God. There must be a positive as well as a negative goodness. We hear a great deal about Jesus as a pattern, how was it with our head? We read in Hebrew 7 chapter and 26th verse. For such an high priest become us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Was he good? It is a question. He was good. He was our pattern in this respect, but in this all? Listen, dear brethren. Acts 10th chapter and 38th verse. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He not only was good, but he did good. A steward then is one who has this positive element of a good character. We read in Luke 19 chapter from 12, 13, 16 and to 24 verses. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman that entered a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he sold this ten coat, his 10 servants, and delivered unto them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come. After a long time, we believe after a gospel age, the Lord of those servants come and reconnect with them. We read that in Matthew 25 chapter and 19 verse. Then came the first saying, the first servant, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound. Which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and thinkest that thou didst not so. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, the wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was as austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and tricking that I did not so. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that I may coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him this pound, and give them that stood by. Take from his pound and give to them his 10 pounds. I want you to note it to him that had 10 pounds. I want you to note that this faithful one who had his Lord's money did not have anything as a steward according to the principle which our Lord himself laid down in Luke 8 chapter and 19 verse. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemed to have. A steward, therefore, is not a person of merely harmless character, or one who is content carefully to fold away in a napkin the talents entrusted to his return, may find his home just as he left it, but he is one who makes a diligent and business-like appropriation of his own or many talents in the master's service. So that at the time of reckoning, the Lord may not only find own, but also a large and increase as passive in evidence to the zeal and faithfulness and loyalty of his appointed servant, steward. The apostle also says in 1 Corinthians 4 chapter and 2nd verse, moreover it is required in stewards that a man should be found faithful. The entire body of Christ is called not to ease, but energy, not to indolence, but diligence, not to apathy, but activity. Every steward must be full of zeal as a prospective son and heir of Jehovah's minister of Christ and steward of the mysteries of God, said Apostle Paul. We are required to be that active in the divine service. We read in 1 Peter 4 chapter and 10th verse, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here is three important questions come to each of us in connection with this subject. First, what are my talents? And second, are they employed? And third, is my service day by day approved of by God as faithful? First, have we many talents and large? Mental, physical, time, circumstances, means, or have we only few talents? And are they small? You know, there is a false humility which finds expression in the statesman. I wonder what my talents are, or I guess I haven't any talents. If this had been your guess, dear brother or sister, one thing is certain, you are not a good steward. Mark is well, beloved. Every runner is this race course, every soldier of this fight, every prospective member of the body of Christ, every steward had at least one talent. God has not called any into this service to be idlers. Notice the illustrations that our Savior gave to faithful service. We read in Matthew 10 chapter and 42 verse, and whosoever shall give to drink and to one of the sweet ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We read in Mark 9 chapter 41 verse, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Also the words of our Lord in Mark 12 chapter 42 and 43 verses. And there came a certain poor widow, and she drew in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more than all they which have cast into the treasury. Does someone say, how nice it is for the Savior to make these comparisons. Surely I can give water. Surely I can give two mites. You can. How nice. Second, are my talents employed? It is another question. Are my talents employed? I want to impress upon you, dear brethren, that our Lord did not say, whosoever can give a cup of cold water, or whosoever can give two mites, but his commendation was for those who did the service, who made the sacrifice, and used their talents. It is important. Mind of our Lord. The poor widow might have kept one of her mites, or for that matter, both of them. On the contrary, she drew them both in. And this is what fastened the attention of our Lord. Many now seem to think that they will win his approval by giving part and keeping more. The merit in the poor widow's action did not lie in the fact that she gave two mites, but that this constituted her all, and that he did not keep part of it for a rainy day, or to tie it over herself or children in the time of trouble, but that she actually cut loose and drew in all her living. The two mites constitute her talents, and she used them up in the service. Had it been $2, $200, $2,000, or $2,000,000, she would have just as gladly and quickly cast it all in. She had the spirit of entire consecration and worked it out in this, which was, no doubt, her first opportunity. She did not bury her talents in property or the bank, but as a wise, energetic, and faithful steward, employed them in the Master's service. This brought from the Lord a commendation greater than which never escaped his lips. And as he read this woman's heart, so the motive and the action. Do you not think that he looks beneath the surface and the profession and the require of us the fulfillment of our vows? We read Hebrew 4 chapter and 13 verses. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom he hath to do. Our attendance must be in service, all of them, dear brother. The Lord has given us a money, Helen, valued at 1,000. We use up 400 for it, and 600 of it vaporized. How are we to answer for the $600? The foregoing is a simple mathematical problem which deserves our intense attention, and for us to glorify God in all of our thoughts and words and actions, it is up to each one of us to work this out in our own hearts, pleasing to God, using our all in His service, according to the contract of consecration. We have just now said, think, is God counting me faithful day by day? Notice the last thought of our text. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Am I meeting the requirements? This is the searching question which should come to every consecrated child of God. In these last days of opportunity, do not permit our adversary to suggest the thought that if you were in brother so-and-so's place or so-and-so's place, then you would render a large and faithful service. God knows that if we are not faithful in the use of our one of two small talents, neither would be faithful if we had 10 large ones, isn't it? Carefully study 1 Corinthians 12 chapter and 27 verse. The 18th verse reads, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, and it is as it hath placed him. We did not put ourselves in the body. This is the Father's work, dear brethren. Though we feel our lightnesses and inability to accomplish much in the divine service, let us remember, dear brethren, that the poor widow only had were all manifest in her quick action. It was very important. We may still be encouraged, though our best efforts can accomplish but a little. The 22nd verse reads, nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary, said the Apostle Paul. Oh, precious thought, every member of the body hath his function to perform. The 27th verse reads, now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. It is so? Then we are ministers of Christ, ambassadors in this evil world, stewards of mysteries of God. And our beloved brethren, let us try to realize the great privilege and honor with which our Heavenly Father has favored us in giving us any part in this great work and the place in which He has set us. Let us then know our talents. Let us keep them employed. Let us be sure the service rendered day by day can be approved of by God as faithful. Let us Let a man so account of us as of the minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 chapter 1 and 2 verses. Ending my very short discourse, dear brethren, with all my heart I wish you a blessing from God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, beloved brethren.
Dear brethren, I'm sure that you gained much from the talk that Brother Zeminski has, the thoughts that he's brought out of the scripture regarding good stewardship. And we can see by the pounds and the talents that was given out, those that worked their talents, they received the reward. Those that went and put them away and give it back to the one that giveth them when he come, they did not receive a reward, but they were more or less scolded that he could have given those talents, he could have given that money to the money changers and received it with interest. So it goes to show that we cannot be slothful in business, we cannot be slothful in the knowledge of the truth when we know it, when we know that as good stewards of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should remember our stewardship to our Heavenly Father and our Lord. And so, we thank Brother Zeminski for bringing those few thoughts out for us. I'm sure that we understood it, we knew what the brother was had in mind. And one thing is, I'd like to give you a little warning that you may want to talk a little secretly about Brother Zeminski in German, or for instance in Russian, or in Ukrainian, and in Polish. Well, he can talk well in Polish, and I believe in French. You've got to be careful because he knows all the languages. And this the knowledge of the English language, that what he has learned, he did not have no school teacher. He got it from the dictionary and picked it up to the extent that he is going to translate the reprints from the English language to the Polish. And that's a big undertaking, though. It's a big undertaking. And so we wish the brother good luck in his endeavor to undertake such a big proposition. May the Lord help you. And now, I believe that the brother is still going to be around here, but there's a few ecclesias, even from Holland. There's three or four from Holland here. How many would like to send their Christian love and greetings to the brother Zeminski to Poland and wherever he will be here on the North American continent before he leaves? That seems to be unanimous. So, brother Zeminski, you see all that brethren over there,
yes.
Too?
Yes,
you got an obligation.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And so, I don't know if the brother and young brother could play Appendix M. Appendix M. Appendix M.
Thank you.
prayer, thanking the Heavenly Father for this opportunity of fellowshipping with Brother Smitsky.
Our Heavenly Father, who live in heaven, thank thee for all blessings he has received today and also for this beautiful evening in which we gathered here to receive many blessings from this truth of God, and from thank thee for all promises where are yes and amen in our Lord Jesus Christ. For all thy blessing let be thee the glory in the precious name our Lord and Redeemer Jesus Christ. Amen.